Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Well, tomorrow we will get details of the government's mini-budget, with the Prime Minister promising a raft of tax cuts. But a report by the Institute for Fiscal Studies says the Chancellor is set to put the UK's public finances on an unsustainable path. Well, we're joined now by Carl Emerson, who's Deputy Director of the IFS. Carl, good morning. Thank you for being with us on Bloomberg Radio. Now, in this report, you put price tags on some of the government's key measures. You're talking about £100 billion for the energy price guarantee and £30 billion for tax cuts. What will all of this mean for borrowing?
Well, the cost of the energy price guarantee is particularly uncertain, and it's going to be very, very big, but it's also going to be hopefully short-lived. It's expected to last for 2 years. So what really matters is the policy settings beyond that. And our forecasts imply that even once that energy price guarantee has expired, a combination of high inflation, pushing up public spending on welfare benefits, on state pensions and on debt interest, and also some of the tax cuts that the new Prime Minister Liz Truss committed to when she was seeking to get that job, in particular reversing the rise in national insurance contributions that happened earlier this year and cancelling the very big increase in the rate of corporation tax that's planned for next April. We think that'll cost about £30 billion a year and in total push the deficit up from about £30-35 billion to around £100 billion a year in the medium term. So a very big increase in borrowing, and about half of that increase being explained by the choice to cut taxes.
Carl, we know there's some controversy over the government's lack of desire to have some of this scrutinised, but presumably the government would push back and say, look, cutting taxes, cutting corporation taxes, putting more money in the pockets of consumers, that is going to result in more tax income in the longer term, and that will offset some of this pressure.
Well, on the producing numbers, I mean, a lot has changed since the last set of official numbers in March. They were prepared before Russia invaded Ukraine. We've had big policy announcements since. And we know that the independent forecaster in the UK, the Office for Budget Responsibility, has forecasts ready. So all the Chancellor needed to do was to give them the go-ahead to publish. And I think it's a real shame that he hasn't felt confident enough to do that. Now, going forward, those tax cuts will certainly support the economy in coming months and will add demand to the economy. But that will be a transitory effect. What really matters is whether there's going to be a boost to supply. And there's no evidence that the kind of tax cuts we're talking about on their own would deliver anything like the increase in growth that would be needed to allow the kind of tax cuts, the kind of fiscal plans we're seeing to be sustainable. Now, it might be that the government will get lucky and growth will turn out to be much, much higher than we expect. That is possible. It might be that we do see a real concerted effort right across a range of policy areas, and those interventions are very, very successful, and we get higher growth by design. So it could be that the plans turn out to be sustainable. We can't simply assume that that's going to be the case.
What about the spending side of all of this? Surely this sort of scale of spending is necessary given the crisis.
I think the support for households and businesses in this winter in particular is certainly necessary. And given the need to act very, very swiftly, I think going very, very big with packages that aren't very well targeted can well be justified. I think it's a bit of a shame in the UK that the government hasn't felt able to say, look, we'll freeze prices for households this winter and then we'll review the situation next spring, next summer, and we'll try and come up with a more targeted scheme for the following winter. I think it's rather disappointing that this rather crude scheme is set to be in place, not just for one winter, but for two winters. But I certainly agree that there's a case for big temporary support through the current crisis. I think what's less clear is whether permanent tax cuts can really be afforded at this point.
Well, that brings me on to my next question, Carl, which is whether or not and to what extent you're concerned that our reliance on as Mark Carney once said, that the kindness of strangers is going to come to something of a halt. We look at gilt yields of around 3.3% on the 10 year. That's relatively we can suck that up for a while. But yields keep grinding higher in this higher rate environment. Is there a concern that foreign investors will start to turn away from the UK bond markets?
Well, it's certainly important to remember that gilt rates still remain low by historical standards. And although our forecasts imply that we'll be spending a lot more on debt interest over the next few years than we might have thought back in March, the amount we're going to be spending still looks pretty low. But it is becoming more risky. We have seen gilt yields rise in recent weeks. We have seen downwards pressure on the pound, given the government's fiscal plans and also the current account deficit that we're worrying, so that we're running. So I think there's certainly a risk here, and that risk is more substantial when there's more debt. So if interest rates rise by 1 percentage point more than expected, that will add about £10 billion a year very quickly to the government's debt interest bill. So the sums at stake here are pretty substantial.
In the meantime, of course, inflation also adding to the cost of how much the government is going to have to spend on servicing the debt too. What about the inflationary impact on things like demands for public sector salary increases?
Well, in our forecast, we've taken account of the higher debt interest spending. We've taken account of the fact that higher inflation automatically feeds into bigger uplifts on state pensions and on most working age benefits. What we haven't done is adjusted those public service spending plans. We've assumed that in cash terms, they will be exactly the same as what was agreed last autumn before inflation took off. Those plans are clearly now much, much more challenging than was intended at the time. Public sector pay awards are coming in higher than what was expected when those plans were set, although, of course, public sector workers are being asked to accept pay awards that are less than what their private sector equivalents are getting. So the spending settlements do look very much more challenging, and there has to be a risk to our forecast that actually the government will end up topping up those spending plans to restore some of the generosity, and that would imply even more borrowing.
How much, Carl, how much relief can we take from the strength of the employment market still here in the UK and the number, the sheer number of vacancies and jobs that remain unfulfilled? To what extent is that going to prove a support for an economy that is clearly challenged?
Well, for many households, of course, the strong numbers of, you know, the very low numbers of people who are unemployed, the fact that we haven't seen unemployment increase substantially has been a great help. There is a bit of a concern that part of that has come about, at least through more people who are not in work and also not seeking work. So more younger people in education, but also in particular, more older workers choosing to leave the labour market earlier than they would have done. Now, that's potentially adding to some of the supply constraints we're seeing in the economy and adding to some of the inflation. So the inflation isn't all about what's going on in Ukraine. Some of it is about these supply constraints that we're seeing in the UK and also elsewhere.
Just bringing you back to the point about growth, which is, of course, what the government's argument is as to how they're going to pay for all this. What scale of growth would be needed to make this sustainable in terms of public finances?
Well, on our central forecast, we have debt continuing to increase as a share of national income, even once that energy price guarantee has expired. Stronger growth would clearly help. We think that about 0.7% a year more growth in the economy would be enough just about to stabilize debt. So it wouldn't lead to debt falling, but it would stabilize it. Now, that's a big increase. It's the same as the difference between the stronger growth that the UK enjoyed between 1983 and 2008, that 25-year period just before the financial crisis hit, and the much weaker period of growth we saw in the 2010s. So it's the same as that difference in growth between those two periods. Now, that means that it's not impossible that we'll be able to get that kind of bounce back. But as I said earlier, that bounce back will either come because we get very, very lucky, or because there's a real concerted effort by government across a range of policy areas, not just cutting a couple of tax rates. You've got to look at tax design. You've got to look at regulation, competition policy, planning policy, trade policy. It's going to education policy. It's going to require efforts across the piece and for those efforts to be very, very successful.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.